Yeah, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over Vice President Pence. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We bind and rebuke every evil entity that would be operating against him. Command it to be confused. Father, we ask you that you give him the right words, the right anointed words to cause the enemy to be defeated. We thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against him in judgment shall be condemned. This is his heritage as a servant of the Lord, and his righteousness is of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that you cause his enemies that rise up before him to be defeated before his face. They may come out against him one way, but they flee before him seven ways. Father, we thank you for the angels that surround him and the Holy Spirit that guides him. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Sometimes people get mixed up. They find things in the Bible and they think it's something that they have to follow. You know, one of the smartest words of warning that I can give you is don't go into the Old Testament looking for something to do, because you'll find it. Go in there and look for a type and shadow of Jesus, find a promise, and receive that by faith. But you got to understand that the New Testament doesn't start until after the cross. The Old Testament is written for you. The New Testament is written to you. Always remember to look and pay attention to who's talking and who they're talking to. Sometimes, even in the New Testament, somebody would be talking, but they wouldn't be talking to Christians. Did you know that? Sometimes, you know, John went into an area and he was preaching to a bunch of Gnostics, not Christians. And he told them that if they confess their sins, God would forgive them and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. Now, from the pulpit, that's been preached to Christians for hundreds of years, telling people, you go ask God to forgive you, and he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Did you know you was already forgiven? And it's because of the blood of Jesus, not because you went and asked to be forgiven. Amen? It can't ever be about you. It's got to be about him and what he's already done. Amen? So unfortunately, we have Christians and running around that are so sin conscious that they are almost no good in the kingdom. I knew some wonderful folks that were anointed, and they were faithful servants, and they were so afraid. They were so afraid that they'd done something wrong till they had lost all confidence in God. And literally, they would be immobilized in some areas of their lives, that they couldn't enjoy their full life because they were afraid that they had done some small thing. These are word of faith Christians. That shouldn't be. They should have full confidence in the blood of Jesus, knowing that he has them covered. Amen. Now that doesn't give them a license to go sin, but these guys weren't trying to live in sin. These guys were doing their absolute best to do right, and they were afraid that they had done some little thing, omitted something, and it immobilized them, and it wrecked their lives. Don't be that way. Now, look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. I'm going to show you a couple of peculiar things. Exodus chapter 19, we'll start at 5. It says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. That was at Mount Sinai. Up until that point, they were under a covenant of grace because of Abraham. They got to Mount Sinai, and instead of saying, "Lord, have mercy on us," they said, "You tell us what we need to do to be in right standing with you. We can do it." Did you know God gave Moses the law that day? Boom. Wrote them out on 2 tablets of stone, gave him the 10 commandments. Did you know that 3,000 people died that day? 3,000 people died that day. The day the law was given. Now, let's look over here to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So on the day that the Holy Spirit fell upon all the people in the upper room, the disciples that were up there, women and children, well, women and men, were all up in that upper room. He fell upon them, and they started speaking in tongues. That very day, the day the Holy Ghost fell upon them, 3,000 people got born again. Now, when the law fell, 3,000 people died. When grace fell, 3,000 people got born again. Amen. That alone right there should tell you to stay strictly away from the law. That right there should tell you if there's any pressure on you to perform, any pressure for you to be good enough, any pressure for you to do anything to earn God's blessing or his righteousness or his grace, stop. Your job is to receive. You know, there was nothing them people in the upper room could do to earn the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They just went there because Jesus told them to. Amen? They went there because Jesus told them that's where they needed to be. And they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, there was a bunch of other people that Jesus told to be there. They didn't go there. They didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not that day, anyway. Amen? Now, let's go over to John chapter 8, verse 31. One thing I think that is really cool is Jesus said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When we open the Bible, we decide we're going to learn about Jesus. We're learning of him. When we're doing that, we're taking his yoke upon him. We're doing things his way. You know, we're living under grace. We're believing what he did for us on the cross. We're receiving everything we can from him. Amen? That's the freest life you're ever going to get, is to just simply receive what Jesus paid for you to have. Now, right here in John chapter 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." the more truth that you know, the freer you get. Now here's something that I learned a long time ago before I really knew anything, but I heard somebody say this, said, the guy wrote it down here, said, and this is what religion says, the more I know, the more I would be accountable for. So I didn't know much, but I was one of those guys. I would go in there and I'd open that Bible up I'd just open it up, and I'd read something in there, and I'd read something in there that would hit me, and I'd say, but I like what I had before, and now this says to stop doing that. And then I'd read something else. I'd close that Bible up, and then a couple days later, I'd open it up to another page, and I'd read another thing that would hit me, and I'd say, man, I got to quit opening that thing up. Because I had heard somebody say, the more you know, the more you're going to be accountable for. That was one of the earliest things I heard. It was one of the terriblest things I could have ever heard. Because pretty soon it got where I was hungry and I wanted to know something. So I was reading the Bible. I'd read a little more of the Bible. And I didn't know how to discern the word. I didn't know how to separate one thing from the other. And I was getting a lot of lie into me. And I was trying to hold myself accountable to that. Finally, one day, one of the smartest things I ever said in my life, and anybody, if they have any honesty in their bones, would say this too. I finally sat down and I said, Jesus, I can't do this. So I fell miserably every time I turn around. I can't do this. And by His grace, He got me into the Bible, into the New Testament, and got me to read that thing so I could have the witness of the Spirit in me. And here's the thing. The more truth that I learned, the freer I got. Till it was to the point where the religious people around me got frustrated with me because they couldn't pass none of their junk on me. And now today, the law keepers, if they even think about trying to throw any law my way, I'm going to hit them with the grace and the truth. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. His Word is on the inside of me. You can't get me confused between law and grace. No more. I know where that line is. And that makes me a freer man. The Bible tells us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that we've been given. We can't very well stand fast in that liberty if we don't know what's in there. If you do nothing else, at least read the New Testament like a novel. At least just read it once. Just read it through, just read it. Amen? What that'll do, that'll cause you a hunger, and you'll go back and you'll start reading some of this stuff that caught your interest. And then pretty soon you'll find yourself looking at stuff, and then you'll start circling stuff. And then you'll start studying. And it'll get exciting to you. It'll become more alive to you. Now, the closer I would get to God, the more trouble seemed to come my way. See, I had heard a friend of mine say that one time. I wasn't born again. I was just living wild. But he said, you know, this pastor come to him and he said, why didn't you go into church anymore? And he said, man, every time I go there, something bad happens. I thought, wow. I wonder what that's about. You know there's a devil out there? And he wants to come and steal that word from your heart. You know, the Bible tells us that he's there to steal that seed. The word is the seed. And he knows that if you get a little bit of freedom, you're going to hunger for more freedom. You're going to hunger for more and more freedom. People that, it's interesting to me, people that were born in America have let their freedoms slide just a little bit at a time, and it doesn't even seem to faze them. But I read a story about boiling a frog slow. If you put a frog in boiling water, he's going to hop out. But if you boil him slow, pretty soon you got him cooked, and he didn't even try to escape. He just got used to it. Yeah, have you noticed that in America? I've noticed it in church too. People will let their liberties go in order to appease the masses. There's pastors that are compromised in so many areas. They just let it go just to please the masses. One of the things that really strikes a lot of them is money. You know, if the wrong people get in control in certain areas, then they say, we'll stop giving to this church if you don't stop preaching that. I told a pastor one time, they were going through a church split, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, well, what do you think you're supposed to do? And he said, well, some of our biggest contributors are on the really left-wing side of this deal. I told him, I said, you're going to have to just draw a line in the sand, and you're going to have to make a decision to please God and follow the gospel rather than them. And if they get mad and quit, they're not your source. They're not supposed to be your source anyway. Just let them go. You could tell it was a real struggle for him. But it shouldn't be. When you know, when you have been liberated by the Word of God, and you know where you stand, that stuff won't bother you no more. Now, the thing is, the closer I would get to God, the more trouble would hit. Until I found out that the more Word I got into me, the more freedom I got. Once I figured out that key and I got rid of that old idea that I wasn't going to be held accountable to that, just because I knew something, I didn't mean that I had to operate in it. I didn't mean that I was going to be held accountable to it, but Jesus set me free. And once I figured out the more I know Jesus, the freer I'm going to get. I started getting into the Word. It caused a real hunger in me. Then I got an excitement to pray. You'll lose the condemnation. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. See, a lot of times, I see it still, preachers beating up on Christians with the law, and Christians walking around accepting it, accepting a yoke that they don't have to wear. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 28. Then I will walk contrary unto you, also in fury, and I will chastise you 7 times for your sin. There's a lot of Christians running around thinking that God is chastising them for their sins, punishing them for their sins. They obviously don't understand the cross, and they don't know Jesus. When you understand that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus, and that He took the punishment for your sins, how is He going to punish you with something that He already punished Jesus with? See, this is why it's important to find out the New Testament part of this thing, so you can walk in the liberty that Jesus has put you in. He's not chastising you. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. God's not condemning you. The Holy Spirit is not condemning you. Jesus is not condemning you. So if you're under condemnation, who's doing it? The devil. And he uses the law to beat Christians up with. He does. That's why when you make a mistake and you feel real bad, guess who is bringing that condemnation your way? The devil. The devil. He's doing that. Well, the law says that you should be chastened. But Jesus has already borne your chastisement and the punishment for your sins on the cross. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There's the chastisement. Jesus took the punishment for your sin. Just to make it clear, if Connie got caught speeding down the road and the sheriff threw her in jail for 30 days and then came and knocked on your door and said, Connie was speeding down the road, you're going to jail for 30 days. That doesn't make sense, does it? No. Then why does it make sense to people who said Jesus got on the cross and God laid the sins of the whole world and punished the sins of the whole world on his body, but little sister, because you did this thing the other day, we're going to make you pay for it again? Now that doesn't make sense, does it? No. Jesus took the penalty for your sins. Stand fast in the liberty, therefore. See, this will cause you to have more confidence in God, and it'll give you the ability to conquer sin in your life. When you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you'll rule and reign over sin. And here's an interesting thing about chastisement. That word in the Greek is paiduo. I'm not very good at Greek, but it's paiduo. It's a two word. The Greek word for chastisement here is paiduo. It does not mean to punish in the New Testament. When they use that word chastisement in the New Testament, it was paiduo. Pi is where we get the word pediatrician. And duo means to teach a child. Paiduo means child training. We're to look at God as our loving Heavenly Father who's here to train us. Take care of us. A pediatrician, a true pediatrician, is there to take care of a child. And God is there to train us up. Amen. How is he going to do that? With his word. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the good shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. One thing I know about shepherds is when we have goats and sheep, and we have a goat that keeps on getting out of its pen, I know one thing about me. I'm going to catch that goat, And I'm going to put him back in his pen. I'm going to feed him and I'm going to water him there. And I'm going to make sure he's safe. And the goat keeps on getting out of the pen. I know one thing about me. I'm not going to rope that goat and break his leg to teach him a lesson. And I'm a man, and that's a goat. This is our loving Heavenly Father, and you're His child. God is not going to give you sickness to teach you a lesson. He is not going to give you poverty to teach you a lesson. He's not going to break your leg to teach you a lesson. Amen? We need to look at God the way we would with a really good earthly father and we're little kids. Look at Him with all the confidence in the world. Amen? But even have more confidence in our loving Heavenly Father, because He's even better than any earthly father could be. Look at Psalms 103. We'll finish with this. Psalms 103. Verse 4. Well, let's start at verse 1. Sometimes, see, this is where we learn how to talk to ourselves. David was talking to himself. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's not a mean, overbearing God. He crowns your life with tender mercies, loving kindness, forgives all your iniquities, all your sins. Amen. But just before that, David said, to bless the Lord, O my soul. That's your fine-tuned thinking machine. What was he doing? He was talking to himself. He was meditating on God's word. He was reminding himself of the good things that God had done for him. We have to remind ourselves of the good things that God has done for us. We have to remind ourselves that God supplies all our needs according to His riches. We have to remind ourselves that God heals us by the stripes on Jesus' back. Amen? We have to remind ourselves that God will never leave us nor forsake us. It sounds simple, but sometimes you see Christians running around, or churchgoers running around town, and they act like there's no God at all. Like, this is the end of the world. We got to dig in. We're going to store up as much food as possible. I don't see anything wrong with putting meat in the freezer and making sure you got provisions. But don't do it out of panic. Don't do it because you think that God's not going to take care of you. He hasn't left. He hasn't left. He's still here. And regardless of what California likes to think, they didn't kick him out of California. He's still there. The Holy Spirit is still there. They're not going to kick him out of California. I don't care how demonic they get. They're not kicking God out of His own creation. Can you imagine the audacity of somebody thinking that they can actually tell God to leave His own creation? As long as there's one Christian in California, God is going to be there. Even if every single believer leaves California, God is still going to be there. The Holy Spirit is going to be there. Amen? He's going to make it possible for people to get born again right until the very last day. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. We thank you that every time we take your word in our hearts, we do actually learn more of Jesus. We learn more of who he is. We want to know him. We don't want to just know about him. We want to know him. He is our personal Lord and Savior. We hunger to know him more. In Jesus' name, amen.